So starting off a couple weeks ago, or starting off at the beginning of Jonah, I'm going to give you a little review. God came to Jonah. Jonah's a prophet, a man of God. He's supposed to share God's word. When God tells him to do something, he's supposed to go do it. So God came to Jonah and said, hey, get up and go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. Nineveh was not his home country. It was actually his enemy. So what does Jonah do? He gets up and he goes in the other direction. He tries to get away from that obligation. Nineveh's 500 miles to the northeast. He's headed 1,500 miles, as far as you can go at that time, to the west. All right, so he's running from the Lord. The Lord sends a storm. Well, he gets on a ship to go to Joppa, this place that's 1,500 miles to the west. Gets on a ship. The Lord brings a storm, a supernatural storm, because Jonah was rebelling against him, because God wanted him to repent and turn back and do what he said to do. And there were some sailors on board, and they were all praying to their gods. Their gods aren't real, though. That's the problem. There's only one true God, and it was Jonah's God, the God he was running from. So anyways, the sailors, they go through a transformation. They go from fearing the storm to fearing the Lord. And it's a great transformation. But one of the things they do, when they find out that Jonah is the reason for the storm, that his God is causing it, they're like, what do we do with you? He says, throw me overboard. Eventually, after some hesitation there, they throw him into the water. And that's where we left off last week. That's where we're going to pick up today. So Jonah, he's in the water. The Lord calmed the storm as soon as Jonah hit the water. But Jonah, it says this in Jonah 1:17. It says that the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Now I've been saving talking about the fish till today. I wanted to wait till we got to the fish to talk about the fish, because this is the problem everybody has. The fish. How could this possibly have happened? Right? So, but God appointed this fish. And God, when it said, God appointed the fish to be at the right place at the right time to swallow Jonah. It wasn't like Jonah went off the ship and the fish opened his mouth and he did like a swan dive into the fish. That's not what happened. So we're going to see that as we go through here. But God sent this fish to keep Jonah from drowning. Why? Because God still loved Jonah, even though he was being a turd, really, at this time, and running from the Lord. God kept Jonah alive for 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. People have a hard time with this. But I want to ask you this, and I want you to think about it. Have you ever had God do something in your life that defied explanation? Have you ever experienced God doing a miracle? And was that miracle a natural occurrence, or was it supernatural? If it was supernatural, I've experienced some things like that, and I've shared before. One of my favorite things that God did, or most amazing, I should say, is I lost my hunting dogs one time. I had beagles, and they were gone for 2 weeks. And honestly, I was kind of like Jonah. I didn't pray about it. I'm like, God's got more important things to worry about than my silly dogs. I didn't think they were silly, but I thought God did. But I was wrong. And one night, when we were getting ready to have dinner, my wife Kim says, hey, have you prayed about this? And I said, actually, I haven't. She prayed, and the phone rang. I'm not kidding you. I didn't take a bite out of my food. The phone rang. It was somebody with one of my dogs. 3 hours away, the dogs were lost up north. By the time I get there, somebody else called my wife, and they had the other one. So that was a supernatural thing that happened. Now, I want to tell you this, too. I don't want you to get a false hope here. God doesn't always work like that. Sometimes we have to pray and we have to have faith before God moves. But in this particular instance, God showed me his realness. To me, that was supernatural. I mean, when that phone rang, my mind was blown, right? I've been waiting for 2 weeks, but anyways, because Jonah was kept alive in this fish, many of us want to dismiss this story as a parable. A parable. What's a parable? It's a story that illustrates a spiritual lesson that's not necessarily true. Jesus taught in parables. And a lot of times, I will tell stories that might not necessarily be true that I read that helps us to understand the scripture better. This thing about my dogs is true, by the way. But I believe, and I have no doubt, that the book of Jonah is a historical event that really happened. And here's why I believe it. Because the scripture kind of backs that up in other places. In Matthew 12:40, and actually there's more verses here where Jesus is talking about this, but this is Jesus talking. He's talking about Jonah. He says, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." If Jesus says it's historical, I don't care what anybody else says, I believe it's historical. I believe it happened. Also, Jonah was a real person. He's mentioned in another place in the scripture. In 2 Kings 14:25, it says, "He restored the border of Israel from Labo Hamath as far as the Sea of Araba, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who is from Gath Hepher. If you read the beginning of Jonah, that is the exact description that we get of Jonah. This is the same Jonah. He was a real man, and Jesus said, this really happened. It's an historical event. So why do you think people don't want to believe the story? Here's what I think. It's because we have a problem imagining somebody surviving inside a fish underwater for 3 days. We're kind of taking credit away from God here. There's several miracles that happen in the book of Jonah. I mean, we can accept the miracle about the storm, right? We have no doubt the storm happened and caused Jonah to be thrown overboard. And when Jonah was thrown overboard, the storm stopped immediately. And nobody ever questions that. Later on in the story, we're in chapter 4, we're going to see where God grows a plant. Actually, it says he appointed, same as what he appointed this fish. He says he appointed this plant to grow to bring shade to Jonah. Miracle. Later, because of Jonah being Jonah, God sends a worm to kill the plant. Miracle. He appointed the worm. That's what it says. And then he sends a east wind that causes Jonah to be miserable. All of those things happen in the book of Jonah, but the only thing we question is the fish. And here's why. What I believe. I believe we want to put God in a box. We want to make his miracles, they have to be natural occurrences for us to believe them. We have to be able to explain them. But here's the problem with that. If we do that, they are not supernatural miracles. For this event, for this fish, for Jonah being in the fish for 3 nights, we can't explain that away naturally. At least I can't. I don't know how he survived in there, except by God. In this miracle, we cannot take God out of the equation, and that's where the problem comes. We don't want to believe that God was the one that caused all this stuff. We want to explain it away naturally. Look, and I've had people come to me and say, do you believe that Jonah really survived in the fish for 3 days? And I say, yes. And they think I'm crazy. And many people won't believe the scripture because of this book of the Bible, which is crazy. Because there's harder miracles than this to believe in scripture. Do you realize that our God spoke the heavens into earth, into creation, just by speaking? Jesus rose from the dead because God raised him from the dead. Listen, if we can believe those things, this fish should be a piece of cake, shouldn't it? God supernaturally caused all these miracles in the book. And this is the truth. I'm a Ford guy, first of all. I have to let you know that. If God would have said in the book of Jonah that he put an F-150 at the bottom of the sea for Jonah to get into, I would believe it, right? Because our God is awesome and he's supernatural. But here's the thing. If we have to have a natural occurrence to believe God is working, and we struggle with the supernatural part of God, is he really God? Is he? Jonah doesn't end up in F-150, unfortunate for him. He ends up in the belly of a fish. And from the belly of the fish, Jonah finally prays to God. Actually, all of this reminds me of the song we just sang. The song that the band just sang says, if you said it, I believe it. That's why I believe if the F-150 was down there, it would be true. If God said it, I believe it. But in the next passage, in chapter 2, Jonah is praying to God, and he's praying in thanksgiving because God rescued him. And he's doing this in past tense, okay? So he is telling the story of this prayer after it's already happened, after he's already been on shore, okay? So this is in past tense, and there's two parts of the prayer that we want to focus on today. The first part is this. Jonah, his experience of being cast off the ship and into the water, okay? So we're going to read Jonah 2:1-7, and then we're going to talk about this first part of it just for a few minutes. Verse 1 says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your breakers and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The water closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I went down, to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. When I was a teenager, I was working on a car. This is a funny story. Now. And I was replacing a fuel line on there. It had to be cut to a certain length. And my dad had all of his tools out in the garage, and I got his razor knife, and I'm trying to cut this thing, and I cut my finger with the knife, which hurt. But here's the problem. I'm stubborn. I'm stubborn. I'm like, yeah, this knife is not beating me. I kept trying to cut it. I cut my finger again. And then a third time. I finally got it cut, but I was bleeding all over, right? So then I go for a Band-Aid. But here's the thing. I was stubborn. I didn't want to give up. And when Jonah was on the board of the ship, this is who he was. He was a stubborn guy. He was on board. He's like, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not turning back to you, God. I'm not repenting. But now, he's thrown overboard. And it's a different story. Matter of fact, he won't even pray on the ship. In chapter 1, verse 6, Jonah's asleep on the ship during the storm, and the captain of the ship comes to him and says, I'm only reading part of the verse. It says, arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. Here's the deal. Jonah didn't pray here. But when he's in the water, it's a different game. He's like, he's willing to die than to go to Nineveh. But when he actually gets into the water or thrown into the water, it's a different thought. So what we have to understand, first of all, is the scripture says that he prayed from the fish. And we have to remember that he's talking in this in past tense. So the first, in verse 2, it says, let me read it again. Verse 2, actually first verse 1, verse 2, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. The belly of Sheol, I've always thought, that was the fish. It is not the fish. It is not the fish. Sheol means realm of the dead. Okay? And some believe Jonah is saying that he died here. I personally do not believe Jonah died. I believe he was on the brink of death. And if you skip down to verse 7, this is chapter 2, verse 7. It says, when my life was fainting away, you rescued me. The NLT says, as my life was slipping away. I don't believe Jonah passed away. I think he was on the brink of death, and he had nowhere else to turn, and he finally turned to God. And Jonah realizes at this point that God's in control, and he's the one who cast him into the deep. If you look at verse 3, it says, For you cast me into the deep. He's praying to God. Into your heart of the seas, and flood surrounded me, all your breakers and your waves passed over me. He knows he's being punished by God. He knows he's experienced the wrath of God, and he's at the bottom of the barrel. He has nowhere else to turn but to God. But listen, God is bringing this wrath. And a lot of times we have trouble. People have trouble getting their minds around a loving God having wrath. But what is the wrath about in this particular case? It's about bringing Jonah back to God. He's saying all of these supernatural things that are happening are to point Jonah back. God's saying, look, do repent and turn back to me. And he's doing all of these things to cause that to happen. Why? Because he loves Jonah. And he's pursuing Jonah. He will pursue us too. If we don't know him, he will pursue you. If we do know him and we turn away, he will pursue you. And I love verse 2 again. It says, I called out to the Lord out of what? My distress. Nowhere else to turn. And in verses 2 through 6, Jonah's speaking about sinking into the depths of certain death. But then he says, God rescued me and brought me up from the pit. This is where the fish comes into play. Look, Jonah didn't jump into the mouth of the fish. He sank down. He really had to get to a place where he's like, God help me, I have nowhere else to turn. I know it's only you. That's why God let him sink down. And God had this fish already prepared. Remember? He said, I prepared the fish. And as soon as Jonah got to that place, the fish swallowed him. Many of us are stubborn like Jonah. Can you relate? I'm going to tell you right now, when we read the book of Jonah, it's like looking in the mirror. To me it is anyways. I think it is to all of us. Again in verse 7, I'll read verse 7 one more time. It says, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. When he had nowhere else to turn, and I really want you to hear this, when he had nowhere else to turn, he remembered the Lord. Many of us are like that. We could go to God right now, but we wait till it's the last resort. We stubbornly try to handle things on our own. Some of us may be struggling with hardships right now. We don't have to wait to turn to the Lord. We don't have to wait till there's nowhere else to turn. We need to realize right now that he is the only one place to turn. Sometimes we struggle with sin and we feel like we're too far gone. Jonah was not too far gone. And if Jonah wasn't too far gone, we're not too far gone. God will forgive sin. We're never too far gone. We can turn to him now. We can call out to him now. Don't wait till you're at the bottom. Don't let him take you to the place, to the last resort. Many of us wait, and I've been guilty of that myself. The second part of Jonah's prayer is this: a personal response to God's saving action. Jonah here is remembering that God saved him with the fish, and he's praising God for it. In verse 8, he says this, and this seems out of place. It says, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. Where does the idols thing come from? Like, I read that, I'm like, the NLT version says it this way: those who worship false gods turn their back on all God's mercies. There's lots of things that can be idols in our life. I've had them in my life. I used to have a Harley. The thing was an idol. It wasn't an idol. It doesn't have to be an idol. It didn't have to be. But what did I do? I put that in front of serving God. I put that in front of God. The thing basically became my God. And we sat here and we think, well, I've never had an idol like that. But I think many of us struggle with idols that we don't even realize. Money is, we all need money to survive, but money can be an idol. Our jobs can be an idol. We can put our jobs before things. Sports can be an idol. We can put sports before God. And this is a tough one. Politics can be an idol. And I'm sorry, But our world is being torn apart by this idol. It's being ripped to shreds, right? An idol is anything that we turn to other than God. And what do we do with politics? We want our country to be fixed. And we think our government's going to do it. We think that a political party, whichever one, is going to do it. Has it ever done it? No, and it never will, because when we're looking to a political party or a candidate or our government to save us or to save our country, we're looking to an idol. We are looking in the wrong direction. We need to be, instead of looking down like where Jonah was, we need to be looking up, because it's only God and a change of our hearts that's going to change our country. That is what's going to do it. Christians, I'm tired of hearing you bicker back and forth over these parties. We are to show the love of God. Come on. Who's ever in office, what is our responsibility? Pray for them. I don't care who it is or who you vote for. And listen, I am not telling you who to vote for. You should vote for whichever one that you pray about and you feel is the best. But we don't need to rip each other apart over it. Our responsibility is to show the love of God. And I didn't put this scripture down, but Jesus says, they will know you're my disciples because of the love you have for one another. When we're ripping each other apart, we are not showing that love to the world. Why would anybody want to be a part of it? I don't even want to be a part of that nonsense. We all struggle with idols. This one's really been on my heart, obviously. Look, I want to say this again. If we want things to change in our country, it starts with our hearts turning to the Lord. The Lord is the one who's going to bring the healing. In Jonah 2:9, it says this, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah finally realized that God saved him, and that God cared, and that even though there was nowhere else to turn, God was there for him. The fish was God's mercy. And he's praising God for God saving him. And look, he vowed to make sacrifices in the temple. And I'm sure at this point when he wrote this, he probably already had went to the temple. But look, we don't have to do that anymore because we have Jesus Christ. We don't have to make sacrifices except for when we know him, we're to become a living sacrifice. But that's a different topic. One of the things that he vowed to do, he says, what you have said, I will do. I vow to do it. One of the things was to go to Nineveh, unfortunately for him. And I love what he says, salvation belongs to the Lord. And when he got to this place, when he got to the bottom, and he realized that he was not too far gone, and that the idols couldn't save him, he had to have the Lord. And he vowed to do what the Lord said. This is repentance. He's turning. He's like, God, I'm wrong here. I'm going to do what you want me to do. That's repentance. It says this verse 10. I'll actually read the verse here. I don't think I have this one on the screen. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah out upon dry land. Many believe that it was near Joppa where he got on the ship that the fish vomited him out. So what did God do? He had the sailors throw him in, brought him to the where he realized he had to have God, saved him with the fish, and then had the fish deliver him right back to where he started. And then what does he say to Jonah? Jonah, this is Jonah 3, verses 1 and 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." We serve a God of second chances. And praise God for that, right? Actually, we serve a God of more than second chances. But we see the second chance here. But look, we can learn from Jonah here in a different way. We can learn the gospel from what we see here in Jonah. Look, in the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament is before Jesus was born, before Jesus came. But yet, everything in the Old Testament points to Christ. Right? If you don't believe the scripture, look for Jesus in the Old Testament, because guess what? He's there, even before he was born. Look at this. Look, we're all born with a sickness called sin. Sin means that we're naturally rebellious against God. We don't have to be taught how to lie. We don't have to be taught how to steal. It's natural. If you don't believe me, look at my grandson down in the hall down here. Sorry, Lincoln. I had to call you out. Look, we can't fix this sin problem on ourselves. We can't use idols. We can't do enough good things to fix it. We're just like Jonah. We need to be rescued. God sent the fish to rescue Jonah. He sent his son to rescue us. Praise God. Until we get to the place like Jonah, where we realize we have nowhere else to turn for the salvation but Jesus, we're not going to come to him. Until we realize we're hopeless of being forgiven, and we're hopeless of having a relationship with God without Jesus, until we get there, we're not going to turn to him. Just like Jonah, when we turned away from what we think is the right and turned to Jesus, we will be rescued. Look, in verse four, it says, "Then I said, I am driven away from your sight." Jonah realized that he was separated from God. Our sin separates us from God. But if you look on, read the rest of the verse, it says, "Yet I shall look upon your holy temple." When we realize, he had faith right there. When we realize that Jesus is the only answer, we repent like Jonah did, and we turn to him in faith, we can be rescued. We can be rescued. Romans 10:9 says, "If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." You will be saved. We need to call out to the Lord, and we need to have those beliefs. We need to believe that he died for our sins and rose again. But we can call out to him. Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Jesus is our rescuer. We serve a God of second chances.